Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. Each week, my guests and I share stories, challenges, and vulnerabilities, all with the aim of helping us to live in a more soulful, authentic, and integrated way. So thank you for tuning in. Let's jump into this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode. Let me start by thanking everyone who tuned in last week for the first episode in this new series. I was a little nervous, but as ever, I find that when I speak from my heart, it goes to people's hearts. And I'm so glad that sharing my experiences of taking some extended time off resonated with many of you. I certainly appreciate all the messages and comments. As ever, that engagement spurs me on. So this week, I'm posing the question, what am I shedding? Now, this probably sounds very poetic, but the idea for this week's episode came to me when I was out walking our dog, Sadie. I generally go to the local park, and of course, this time of the year, the trees are shedding their leaves. So watching them fall and swirl at my feet got me thinking, what am I shedding? Or what could I let go of? This is the time of the year when the days get shorter, the evenings darker, nature turns in on itself. It's a time to retreat and reflect. And the question, what am I shedding, is a good place to start. When I contemplated this idea of letting go, of putting down the baggage, discarding what's no longer serving me, five areas came to mind. And that's what we're going to delve into this week. The first thing that came to mind when I was contemplating what I'm letting go of were dreams, goals, desires, ambitions that no longer serve me. This might sound like an odd one, because you might be thinking, with the nature of my work as a coach and a speaker, I might be all about setting goals and dreams and desired results. Well, not anymore. You know, to be honest, I think I'm at a great simplification stage of life. And one of the things I'm dropping are goals, dreams, and ambitions that perhaps I've carried for too long and that are no longer valid or meaningful for me. They're beyond their sell-by date. And this is not about resignation or giving up. It's more of a reassessment. Do I really need ABC to be happy or fulfilled? Or do I need to have X, Y, and Z in my life to feel content? There's little point in striving for something that no longer excites me or fuels my soul. And I think that's true for all of us. A book I read recently really solidified this concept for me. As you know, I'm a big reader. And if you love personal development books, one of the best I've read in a long time is Build the Life You Want by Arthur C. Brooks. And it's co-written by none other than Oprah Winfrey. It's really a book about happiness. Amongst his many achievements and qualifications, Arthur Brooks teaches a class on happiness at Harvard, where he's a professor, a class that's always oversubscribed. And everything he speaks about is grounded in research, which gives it so much more weight. There are many gems of wisdom in it, but one that really spoke to me was the concept of a reverse bucket list. And that sits really neatly with the idea of letting go. So what do we mean by a reverse bucket list? Well, every year Arthur Brooks says he crosses something off his bucket or goal list. Now, truth be known, I've not set specific goals for a few years, but several years ago I did compile a bucket list and many items have been ticked off, travel to destinations, running a marathon, but the whole concept of a bucket list had drifted from my attention. So this idea of crossing things off, it really dawned on me that many of the goals and dreams I had just no longer spoke to me. They felt like a burden, a self-imposed burden. So maybe I can cross them off. You know, I don't need to strive to see a book of mine in an airport newsagents. Maybe I don't need to meet Oprah herself, you know, or seeing one of my plays produced on a stage. You know, I can set my intention for all of them, but perhaps, you know, these goals are just a little bit too weighty for me to be carrying with me all the time. That feeling of letting go of what's no longer serving me felt so liberating. I felt lighter. Now, that's probably a reflection of my stage of life. You know, the first half of life is about achievement. The second part is fulfillment. So as someone who is in the second part of life, it makes sense for me to drop what would no longer fulfill me. As we mature, fulfillment becomes more about inner rewards and intrinsic motivation rather than external recognition. We know what we like and what we don't, what works for us and what doesn't. For those of us who might label ourselves high achievers, dropping goals or ambitions takes the pressure off. For me, so many of the demands I put on myself were self-imposed. So for those of us who are fully subscribed members of the Tough on Myself Club, this idea of dropping unrealistic or no longer relevant goals is like putting down weighty baggage we've been carrying for too long. Let's face it, many of those goals may not have been ours in the first place. Many might have been society-imposed goals or supposed-tos, the traditional markers of so-called success. They're often ego-driven goals, and that makes them weighty. The idea of letting go dovetails with the concept of surrender and surrendering to what is, something that has become more and more important to me. This is not about a resignation state. It's how we counterbalance the belief that so many of us parrot, which goes something like, one day I'll be happy, or I'll be happy when. We can only feel our emotions in the present. This exercise of shedding made me feel lighter, and yes, happier. The idea of surrender is also integral to really all spiritual practices. This got me thinking about that Bible verse that always confused me as a child, where Jesus says that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The rich man is just carrying too much stuff, perhaps, too many attachments, cannot put them down. Now, maybe I'm just at the shedding stage of life, shedding everything because we can't take anything with us. We reach the point where we even shed our bodies. That's getting a little deep. What can be ironic too with the concept of shedding or letting go, and when we relinquish our grip on goals or dreams that we have, we actually create the space for manifestation, the space for co-creation, and that's something that I've experienced in the past. So what goals, dreams, or ambitions are no longer right for you, no longer aligned with the essence of who you are? We all grow and evolve, and what we thought might make us happy one day may no longer be as relevant, so we can free up some headspace and heart space and just put down what's no longer serving us. Another area that we can explore when we're thinking about what can we shed or what can we let go of falls under the umbrella heading of working smarter. Now, you've heard me use that phrase before, and it's something that's uttered in organizations everywhere. Working smarter is always about identifying what you're no longer going to do, or maybe doing less of an activity that doesn't really add value. We can, of course, apply this thinking to our own lives. What's working for me? What's no longer working despite my best efforts? I've spoken before about how over the years my schedule got busier and busier with new commitments, many of them self-imposed. There was the monthly e-zine, the production of YouTube videos, social media, the podcast episodes, let alone my client-facing work. It felt I was no longer a coach, a speaker, and a self-skills trainer. I was more of a media producer. I wasn't working smart, so things had to be discarded. So if we're pondering what can I shed, let's look at habits and routines that may have become ingrained and reflect upon the question, are they still serving me? What can I adjust? Or what can I drop? Another deep one for me under this heading is letting go of the need to know or understand everything. For me, this encompasses a lot. But one aspect of it that I find so helpful is letting go of the need to know all of the steps in a process or seeking complete clarity at the outset. It reminds me of that Martin Luther King quote, "Fate is taking the first step, even though you cannot see the entire staircase." This letting go of the need to know everything keeps our thinking in the present as opposed to the future. It also encourages us to lean a little bit into trust, which I know for me is always a good thing. One of the interesting things I've also found with activities that I've put down or discarded in the last few years, that some of them I'm picking back up again, but now they feel fresher and lighter. Sometimes we simply need a break or to walk in this world a little lighter. The third thing that came to mind when I was sitting in the park with her dog Sadie, eager for me to keep walking, was all the stuff I've accrued in my life. And I really felt the urge for a spring clean, even though it is winter time. Our homes are often full of stuff, clothes, books, ornaments, toys. You know, and we can contemplate what can we get rid of, donate, repurpose, upcycle, or store away. I often say that the only thing I hoard are books. I always need more shelf space. There are some books that I want to keep because I treasure them. I'll reread them. Others I can pass on. It's the same with other items too. Some will hold precious memories. As Marie Kondo says, they'll spark joy. For me, the guide when it comes to household stuff is the golden rule of William Morris. He said, have nothing in your house that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful. I think he said those words over 100 years ago when there was far less stuff about than we have now. So I think his words are even more relevant. I've no doubt that we could all go to our wardrobes today and identify items that we know we'll never wear again. Or maybe we never wore some at all in the first place. Perhaps the charity shop awaits. Over the years, my wardrobe has shrunk. Maybe it's an age thing, but I know what suits me. And I've always preferred to buy one quality item, maybe, than five of less quality. For me, there's an elegance to that, a simplification. Of course, giving our wardrobes and homes a good tidy out creates more space too. The next area is relationships, and this is a trickier one, but it's one that has always been relevant for me and one that I've been particularly conscious of in recent times. We all have people in our lives who are uplifters. We feel good in their company. They're a joy to be with. We also have people who are more challenging. Whilst everyone does their best with their self-awareness and knowledge at their disposal, we know some people just aren't good for us. Maybe we've tried everything and nothing seems to change. Sometimes the one thing we haven't tried is stepping away. What I found, and I think COVID heightened this, was that when the routines of meeting up were broken, when I stopped reaching out to some people, nothing came back. For me, that's always a sign that I'm the one who's keeping the contact going. Fine if I want to do this consciously, but maybe equally fine if things just fizzle out. As the saying goes, it's not a rift, it's just drift. For me, I want to shed the energy I put into keeping a failing relationship alive. My energy is better spent. In all relationships, we are only responsible for 50% of the relating. If I'm doing more than my 50%, I'm bending over backwards and I'll feel it. I'll feel the strain. Some people enter our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. We all grow and change, and some people are not meant to walk our path with us at certain stages. When we say goodbye, again, it creates the space for some new hellos. I certainly found this was the case with me, with new friendships I made when I went back to college to do the MA in creative writing. There were many new and rich conversations around shared interests. It was invigorating and a real contrast to some of the conversations that you have in the past, maybe where you hear yourself and others repeat the same stories yet again. Of course, we can always remember that golden rule of relationships, which is we cannot change other people. We can only change how we relate to them not changing. The last area I pondered when thinking about what could I shed was emotions. And this is a biggie. Everything we do or any goal or dream we have is a request to feel more of a positive emotion or maybe less of a negative emotion. If we are feeling stuck, we might be seeking to feel greater levels of excitement in our lives. If we have financial worries, maybe we're seeking a sense of security. If life feels chaotic, we want a greater sense of peace and calmness. If I pose the question, what emotions would you like to shed? Straight away, we will think of meaty ones, such as worry, insecurity, anxiety. Identifying them and dropping them are two completely different things. If you are like me, many of us have been trying to put down the weighty bags of worry or imposter syndrome for decades. So what can we shed here? Well, something I've been trying to do in recent weeks is to get very specific. Let me identify some tangible baby steps that will feel like progress, rather than wishful thinking and hoping to suddenly feel differently. Can I predict a situation where I normally worry, but maybe I could pre-plan a different choice of response? It might be very minor, but it would be a start. For example, someone doesn't respond to an email or a text I send. What could it mean? Our imagination can easily make us think about the worst case scenario. In this situation, what I now attempt to do is to identify when I'm mind reading, second guessing someone else, because the emotion or state I'm seeking to shed is overthinking, something that is at the root of my feelings of burnout. And it's a habit that I'm trying to change. I'm going to close this week with a favourite poem of mine that is so relevant for today's topic. But before that, a little reminder on the five areas we've gone through. And I'm going to pose these as questions and just see how you would respond to them. What goals, dreams or ambitions can I put a line through because they no longer speak to my heart? How can I work smarter by identifying what I'm no longer going to do? What stuff can I tidy up or tidy out? What relationships are no longer working despite my best efforts? And what would happen if I ceased putting energy into them? What emotional response would I like to drop? And what would I love to replace it with? And remember, whatever we drop or put down or discard, we can always choose to pick it back up again. I'm going to close this week with the poem She Let Go by the Reverend Saphir Rose. You may have heard it before. I know I've shared it at some workshops and on a previous episode. But as I say, it's so right for this week and this time of the year as we watch the trees release their leaves. So thank you, my friends. Until next week. She Let Go by the Reverend Saphir Rose. She let go. Without a thought or a word, she let go. She let go of fear. She let go of the judgments. She let go of the confluence of opinions swarming around her head. She let go of the committee of indecision within her. She let go of all of the right reasons. Wholly and completely. Without hesitation or worry, she just let go. She didn't ask anyone for advice. She didn't read a book on how to let go. She didn't search the scriptures. She just let go. She let go of all of the memories that held her back. She let go of the anxiety that kept her from moving forward. She let go of the planning and all of the calculations about how to just do it right. She didn't promise to let go. She didn't journal about it. She didn't write the projected date in her day timer. She made no public announcement and put no ad in the paper. She didn't check the weather report or read her daily horoscope. She just let go. She didn't analyze whether she should let go. She didn't call her friends to discuss the matter. She didn't do a five-step spiritual mind treatment. She didn't call the prayer line. She didn't utter one word. She just let go. No one was around when it happened. There was no applause or congratulations. No one thanked her or praised her. No one noticed a thing. Like a leaf falling from a tree, she just let go. There was no effort. There was no struggle. It wasn't good and it wasn't bad. It was what it was, and it is just that. In the space of letting go, she let it all be. A small smile came over her face. A light breeze blew through her. And the sun and the moon shone forevermore. Here's to giving ourselves the gift of letting go. Thank you for listening this week. If you enjoyed this episode and have a moment, please rate, review and subscribe if you haven't already. And maybe you'd like to share it with a friend too. For more information about me, James Sweetman, my coaching services, workshops, books, and for more podcast episodes, be sure to visit jamessweetman.com.